Welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, James Politilo.
And Katie Godden from The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, but we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we'll be talking about the latest tools and technologies and which have been embraced and which haven't been so much embraced. So James, you've recently come across a new tool. Do you want to tell us more about it?
Yeah, I think if you've been online, been on LinkedIn or looking at anything over the last couple of weeks, you probably can't have failed to notice something called ChatGPT, which is brought to you by OpenAI. It's a really interesting tool, but it's also pretty divisive. So people have lots of different views about it. So if you haven't seen the tool before, I'd summarize it by saying, it's almost a bit like Google on speed. Now, that's probably not very helpful, but you can go in and ask ChatGPT a question, and it can be quite a nuanced question. So, for example, we were just having a look at this morning and thinking about some of the applications for learning. So I put in a query that just said, suggest a half day face-to-face training session plan on data protection for those working in the finance industry in the UK, include a 15-minute break, and ensure there's lots of interaction, case studies and scenarios. And what that does is effectively it's got a huge amount of data sat in the background, and it has suggested a structure for that session for me in under 30 seconds. And that's quite a detailed structure that it's put together as well. So in essence, what it's doing is using that data bank to then answer your question in a humanistic type way. Now, it's very, very powerful tool. If you consider that to, if you type the same thing into Google, you will get a set of links or documents that you might have to go through. You might find a small summary answer pulled out of one of them, but it's taking that to that next level. So I think it is immensely powerful, but clearly there's been lots and lots of debate. And I think the debate's really healthy because what it's doing is raising some of the key issues about artificial intelligence and things going forward. So what I've seen is people talking about the fact that it might produce prejudiced answers, or because again, the data set it's working off might be full of data that presents things in a particular way. It may of course be inaccurate. So you know, this is not like walking up the mountain to the Oracle and asking it the question and knowing it's going to be 100% right. But for a tool that has been launched for us to test and see what's working and to feedback and to get user interaction and see how it might be used, I think it's a really important step in how we're moving forward in learning.
Yeah, like I've kind of missed all the news about that because I've been out of the business for about 2 weeks with COVID and then taking a week off. So I didn't really know anything about it. But you just showing me that and how powerful it was, and like you said, how detailed it was. It was immense because, yeah, comparing that to Google, you'd probably get in Google about a million and one different searches, and you're going to get lots of searches related to each element of it, but not that kind of combined approach. And have that kind of one solid answer. And I think even if you don't have to use it like as the answer is, you can tweak that as well, but it's helping you for a template. Because I think I know I'm guilty of this. I know that I've got to do a piece of work, but it's where do you start? And I think if you've got something like that, that enables you to have like that starting point, you've at least got that skeleton and you can kind of build on that. And I've not seen anything like that, and how quick it was. It really was immense.
And I think, you know, building on that point, it's a tool in your armory. This is not the answer, but this is a tool to help make your life easier, better. You know, you ask it questions. And I think this is going to change our skill sets as well, because one of the skill sets is going to become asking good questions of something like an AI tool to be able to get the information and answers you want. I've also, whilst playing around with it, been able to do a bit of refining over questions. So you can ask it a question or give it a scenario you want help with. It will come back with an answer, and you can say, actually, can you take that bit out and change this, etc. And so it is like having a conversation with almost your own little personal assistant that's going to do some of those things for you. So I think as a tool to move things on, as you've highlighted, it's really effective. I know people are saying, well, it'll just create one way of doing things and it'll remove the human touch. But in the example you've used, if you take it as a starting point, you can add more around that. So, you know, this is not an opportunity for people who know nothing about something to suddenly start, you know, producing training courses or information on stuff they know nothing about and try and monetize it. Although I'm sure some people will try that, you know, we'll have a load more learning courses put out by people who just go, right, I'll quickly do this on ChatGPT, create some e-learning, bang it out, try and get some money through it. But I think this is an opportunity for, if you are, you know, in a training role, if you're a subject matter expert or all of those things, like you said, sometimes you don't know where to start. This at the moment can be a really useful tool. But I also think the power of it, until you get in and experiment, you know, I think we're probably not really aware of all the possibilities of where it could take us over time as well. So I know some people will almost, like they see an insect crawling across the floor and want to stamp on it and get rid of it, will see this as a threat to them. But I think it's seeing it as an opportunity to enhance what you do, to streamline what you do, to allow you to do the more interesting parts of your role.
We've got so much technology out there as well, and like some of it's useful and some of it's not useful, and we've kind of seen that over the last few years, especially during COVID, where we've had kind of different apps, technologies, tools, whatever you want to call it, kind of appear to kind of fit, I guess, our lifestyles during kind of lockdowns and stuff like that, and try and make things more easy, but they didn't necessarily add that value, you know what I mean? Like, I know you and I kind of used out some of that technology and tools, and like some of it was helpful, and then some of them just weren't. Like, you know, we were trying to kind of follow that trend as well and see if we could reach an audience because other people were going to it. But I think you and I were quite skeptical of some of them to begin with and knew that it probably wouldn't take off for us as a business anyway. But yeah, I think something like this, it is more powerful, and you can actually see a genuine use for it. And I don't see it being kind of a fad, because it's not just following a trend and kind of a lifestyle that might potentially change. Like, for example, when we're in lockdown, we knew we were going to be locked down, but we knew hopefully that it was going to change and we'd go back to normal. So those things that were designed specifically for that, obviously then, unless they evolved and kind of adapted with how our lives were changing as well, they kind of got stuck behind, and they were only for that kind of time period of lockdown or whatever. But something like this, I think, is really amazing, and I think people should embrace it as opposed to kind of stamping on it, because technology is everywhere, and that's not going to change, you know what I mean? I prefer something like that than a crappy little chatbot that doesn't do anything, that's programmed with specific questions and doesn't understand the questions and becomes more infuriating as you're using it. At least that's really useful in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you touched upon some of that technology that sort of almost came and went. You know, we had the Clubhouse phenomenon of, you know, this exclusive app you could sign up for, and, you know, as you said, we tried out
or be invited to
and then all you know, pyramid scheme, you can invite some other people to it, and all you felt special, and then you got in and went, is this it, you know? And it didn't really work as a function. But you've also touched upon like those early chatbots, and interesting, we have to go through those early chatbots to get to something like ChatGPT. So everything's that evolution. And I think embracing technology early and not trying to hold it up to too high a standard, but thinking about the possibility and thinking about the enablement is where we should be in learning. Because, you know, the whole part of our function is to help the organization prepare for the future. If you look at a lot of the skill sets that are being advocated as skills for the future, you know, being aware of digital and technology, and we should be a function that is leading from the front on that, and we should be, you know, looking at all the stuff that is coming along and thinking, right, this is a great example of how we can have AI working in our business. Now, at the moment, it's working off a slightly older data set, so it's not necessarily got the latest information in there. It also doesn't have your local company information. But can you imagine in a few years' time if this had all of your company information on it? Now, again, we're still going to have, and it'll be interesting to see how this works through, because at the moment you can, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down to an answer it gives you to try and give it user feedback. If you give it a thumbs down, it asks you for feedback as to what you think the answer should have been. And if you give it a thumbs up, it asks you to add more information to make the answer better. So it's trying to get user engagement to help make that answer better. So it knows it's in development. Just roll the same scenario into your business. Now, say this was scraping across your SharePoint and all of your other data sources, your LMS, anything else that, you know, holds data in your business. It's how this is going to know and learn what is current information, what is up to date, etc. So it's not going to replace anything, because again, with all of these things, rubbish data in, rubbish data out. So, you know, but it will be interesting to see what's happening in the background for it to be able to know what is good and bad information that will then allow in future years, and it was not going to be this year, you know, I very much doubt it's going to be 2023, that this is, you know, then available to a bespoke company, although I'm sure they'll be running trials in companies to be able to start to see how can this be localized, how can this work in a particular context. You know, I like the fact that it does produce you geographic central stuff. I've asked it lots of things around, you know, if I'm in this region, country, profession, give me the answer, and it does contextualize it. So there's a lot of good, you know, stuff in there. I mean, it has I'm sure a long way to go, and it's not by no means perfect. You can sit there and look at ChatGPT and see that it's quite formulaic in its response, and it's meant to have natural language processing in there to talk like a person. But again, I think we probably all talk in patterns. You know, we know if it's you talking or me talking because we each have our own signature. So ChatGPT will have a slightly formulaic signature as all of us, but it'd be interesting to see how it evolves from that point of view as well. So I think it's a key evolution and step that I would love learning people to be embracing. And I'd love to hear from people, what's the most creative way you've used this so far? What have you found that really helped? What's your vision for this for the future? Because again, I think this opens up possibilities of things that we would never have been able to achieve before, and think about how can we do that?
Yeah, and I think it's something to highlight as well. I think you've already said it anyway, it's not replacing anything. I think it's adding to it and enhancing kind of your toolkit that you've already got there. You're still going to potentially have authoring tools and stuff like that that are going to help produce the information that helps you provide you with, you know what I mean? But it's just an added tool there, so you're not having to do everything from scratch. And I think the learning industry seems to be quite shy and slow on the uptake of new technology. I think we're still quite a way behind, and we're quite, it seems like people are quite afraid to kind of use different stuff to kind of produce that information. They think that everything needs to be produced from scratch, you know, like you can't get any help, or you've got to go and find the specific experts, you know, and they're all the good ways that you can do stuff. But I think using this is going to help enhance that even further, and using other tools that are out there as well to help do that as well. You know, it doesn't have to be done in one specific way. You know, you don't have to necessarily use an authoring tool. You could use Canva, you know, so like there's lots of different examples out there of how learning can be created. It's about using different things that are perhaps not as traditional as what we would have necessarily used in the past, because we've got the technology now that is available to us that we didn't have there beforehand.
Yeah, and I think there's some really interesting points in there. You know, you're talking about LMSs, Canva's come along. So yeah, we've had lots of tools that have effectively broken down those incumbent, very cumbersome, expensive, quite centralized tools where not everyone has access. Now, you know, as we move to content being in the power of everyone, this, you know, tools like Canva, like video editing software, whichever one you use, podcast, you know, editing software, or any of those things, have made content more democratized and lots of people can easily produce content. I think where you're then looking at something like this, effectively you might ask the question, and this is where people feel threatened, of what's the point of you as a learning team if I can just ask ChatGPT the question? But to me, it's about how do we create that culture? How do we upskill people to be able to ask those questions, to be able to understand and decipher what's true and not? You know, again, it's almost back to some of those skills you learn at school of being able to, you know, in history, sift through what is real, what's not, think about how sources are trusted. This is going to add another layer of nuance on that. But I'm then, you know, again, just I start thinking, what's the possibility of what comes next? And you've just mentioned, like, you know, an authoring tool that's put a training course together. I can imagine, you know, there will be authoring tools now, or you can publish a training course and effectively go to something like ChatGPT, please keep this course up to date and suggest to me whenever there's any changes, or, you know, keep the examples in there and the case studies up to date and relevant, keep the legislation up to date and relevant. And they could therefore almost service you when those changes are happening, you know, make suggestions for you. That is not a long way away. And think about how that would make learning far more, you know, again, we don't need to keep rewriting courses without thinking about it. We don't need to go in and think, oh, it's 4 years since we last looked at that course, it's a bit tired. We'll be able to use the tools in our armory to change how we think about things and to change where we put our emphasis. And again, I don't even know if that will become a process, but I'm just, if you start to think about all the things that you can't do at the moment, and when I, you know, when I try to get people or our clients to think about the future and think about doing things differently, most people are stood in their own shoes looking forward and they're trying to iterate to get better. You know, this is one of those times where you can actually step out and go, if I was to wipe out everything we're doing at the moment and start again, how might this influence what I do? And I think asking some of those really powerful questions can help you to think about, actually, we can do this in a different way. We might not even need this tool. It just helps you to step outside of your current comfort zone or your current busyness zone and think about what has changed, what can we do differently, and are we just making a faster train when we could be doing something that's not a train because there's different ways of doing stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's not relying solely on one kind of new tool or one up and coming thing, you know what I mean? Like, I think people often try and go to that. It's like, I'm only going to use this and that's going to be the be all and end all and that's going to fix all my problems. It's understanding that these are going to work in conjunction with each other, right? Like, you can't just have one thing that's solely doing everything. This is going to be really useful and I think really powerful, something like this. For like learning in the flow of work, like that bit of like, actually I'm doing this project and I've come to this particular part of the project and I'm completely stuck. Can I ask a question? Is there something out there? And yeah, if it's connected to all your company SharePoint and stuff like that, that's going to be even more powerful because you've got kind of your generalized information, but then you've got your specific information and it's drawing that together. And it's allowing you to kind of, again, go back to that start point, but it doesn't take out the fact that you'll still need to do learning, you know what I mean? Like in other bits, you're still going to need to do those compulsory bits that are mandatory, you know? So like it's, you're not taking people's jobs out, it's just changing that and it's adapting that, but it's like you said, allowing people to have different skill sets. So like the training function should be helping people to keep their information up to date and like how you name things and, you know, like to then make that AI even more powerful so you could bring to the forefront like the right information, etc., you know. So I think yeah, it is, you're not replacing anything with it, you are using it in conjunction, and it's, people have to adapt as well, not just the technology, and it's understanding, like you said, if you put something in, if you've got crap infrastructure behind it, crap data behind it, it's never going to work, you know, because you're just going to keep finding and searching for the same stuff, you know. You need to kind of change that as well. And I guess that will probably scare some people because that's a big job in itself to do that as well. But I think we have to start thinking about that because we can't keep living in the past like we do. I think there's lots of systems out there that you can see, like dealing with the NHS, like just their information and sharing information, that's painful in itself. Like if you go between a doctor's GP or a hospital or whatever, and they seem to have lost information, yet it's the same company. But you know, if you change that and made that more efficient, what else is going to be have that knock-on effect? You know what I mean? I think it's this sort of technology and the powerfulness behind it, I think, is going to potentially help a lot of industries.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think there's a lot of power in the technology. There's also, you know, the ethical, the how people use it, the, again, as we've talked about, the understanding how to get the best out of it. And there is also the threat to traditional ways of doing things, because if I was going to sit an exam now or be a written assignment in an education environment, why wouldn't I ask ChatGPT to structure the answer for me and reword it? You know, I have learned through that process. I am producing the right answers. So it maybe then sends a challenge back to traditional ways of delivering education or measuring attainment or competence or knowledge, and think about how should we do that in a different way. And what it can do as well is allow some of those things that take you a lot of time or a lot of effort or energy or cost, and create you space to step into something that you should be doing or you would be doing if you could get past those things. So it's a door opener as well to be able to step into different parts of the organization. So taking the challenge around service in businesses, how do you move that? What's happening are all of the structures and processes that are causing data to be lost in the example you gave or whatever it happens to be? And how do we get people focused on that rather than maybe the things they are focused on, because that's taking us a lot of time to solve? So I think it's a massive enabler. As you said, it is not the only tool. You know, this is part of your toolkit that you should be using, that you should be aware of. And there are lots of other technologies and tools out there that equally we probably don't know about because we haven't seen them. So there will be niche products, niche tools, there will be sectors that are using some really great and innovative technology or processes that can be applied elsewhere. And I think it's that curiosity that we should all have about these things and look at things with the art of possibility, but with a very pragmatic, logical methodology to think about what are the risks of just putting this in as well, and not thinking about those knock-on effects or the risks or anything else.
Yeah, I think it's not underestimating the power of technology. Like it, you talking about the education sector kind of prompted me to think about taking my maths exam years ago, and you had your calculator maths exam and your non-calculator maths exam, and the teacher always saying like, you're never going to have a calculator on you at all times. But the irony of that, because now we walk around with this little thing that's got everything on it, you know, including a calculator, so I can Google the answer. Yeah, I didn't even need to put it into the calculator. But again, that was underestimating that technology, and kind of we were at that time, that was what, 2006, that sort of time. So you did have phones and stuff with calculators, but obviously it wasn't iPhones and things like that, so, or smartphones. But yes, it's not underestimating it, and things will change. And you will be carrying around a calculator in your pocket.
Yeah, and you will be doing so many more things than any of us can possibly envisage in the future. And it's that open-mindedness. And again, not limiting yourself or thinking that I am safe in my job. And I don't mean that in the wrong way, but being complacent about we're untouchable. So we've seen knowledge industries become more easy to replace. And this, you know, this is an obvious step on that journey. So what are the things that you should be doing? What are your interests? What can you be doing to keep yourself relevant as an individual? But also, what are the skills your business needs to succeed and stay ahead? And what are the tools and technologies that we have at the moment we're not using? What are the ones that are in beta test or on the horizon that we should be aware of? And what are the ones that, you know, we've sat and thought in a science fiction-esque way, wouldn't it be great if we could do that? Because they are probably closer than we would have thought in the past. So I think it's a great opportunity to bring into 2023 to think about what tech you're using, what maybe needs a bit of a bin or a recycle over this year, what things could you be embracing, is all your tech working for you? So, and what can you do to be on top of new trends coming into the industry? And how can you make sure you miss the fads like Clubhouse and hook onto the ones that are really relevant?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to hear people's thoughts and opinions on that and kind of look at new tools and technology that we can embrace as well. So that'd be really interesting.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if The Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.